Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Exodus chapter number 20. And I'm going to be reading verse number 7. Don't forget, we're going through the series, The 10 Laws of Freedom. The 10 Laws of Freedom. And in this series, we are going through the commandment, the 10 commandments as written in the book of Exodus. So we're reading Exodus chapter number 20, and I'm going to read verse number 7. Exodus chapter number 20, I'll read verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who take his name in vain. I read that again. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I read from the NIV translation. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Shall we pray? Father, as we go through your word this morning, let light shine from heaven. Let this light illuminate our heart. Lord, we pray, oh Lord, that you will speak to us individually. You speak to us collectively as a church. You speak to our hearts, oh Lord, your mind regarding your word this morning. Lord, I pray for a grace and an anointing upon the ears and the heart of your people to receive the word this morning. I pray that you think through my mind this morning and speak through my tongue. Lord, use my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let it inscribe the word in the hearts of your people. Let power flow as we share your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church say,
amen.
Amen. This morning I'm going to be teaching by the grace of God on what I've titled, Holy Name Abuse. Holy Name Abuse, or what you can call the abuse of the holy name. The abuse of the holy name. Now, when we come to this particular commandment, we have our different opinions about what we think the Lord meant when he gave this particular commandment to the children of Israel. For many of us, we are so quick to think that this simply only addresses us as a people, not using the word God and damn together in the same sentence. We feel that it is... The purpose of this particular commandment is to make us not to use some gutter languages, vulgar talks, or say some dirty jokes. And we think that by the time we clean up our words or our language, then we should be ready to go to the next one. So let me just clean up and go to the next commandment. Now, but not so fast, because this is not just about our language, the words we speak, and how we communicate. It's not just limited to using the word God and damn together, cursings and blasphemies of all kinds. It includes that, but it's much more than that. It includes that, but it's much more than that. You have had people using all kinds of blasphemies against God, the type that could not be used to describe any human being, not the people that they respect, not the people that are in their lives, certainly not the people that are in places of authority over them, but we see people using that carelessly, blasphemies of all kind, speaking all kinds of the actions, and blasphemies are just actions action or offense that provokes insult to God. It's speaking things that are offensive to God. You know, and that's a serious thing. That's a very serious thing. And as a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, when people blasphemed, they are actually put to death. Is that serious? Leviticus chapter 24, we don't have the time to turn there. Talked about a man that blasphemed the name of the Lord, and he had to be put to death. But these days, we address God anyhow. You know, we say all kinds of things about God. And God is not impressed. God is not impressed at all. As a matter of fact, there is a clause in this particular commandment which makes it very serious. He said, anyone, you know, do not use the name of the Lord in vain, or do not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. In other words, I'm not going to let that guy go scot-free. Is that serious? You know, people blaspheme all kinds of things. I can't even stand here to begin to say all the things that people say sometimes. I mean, can you imagine somebody standing and saying, you know, because Jesus has two fathers, then God must be a gay, you know, that kind of a thing. And everyone laughs. You know, that's blasphemous. That's blasphemous. The interesting thing is there are certain religions in our world that you know you dare not blaspheme, not even their God, but the person they refer to as the holy prophet. You know, everyone stays clear. don't say that about those guys, you know, because, you know, you know. But when it comes to God, especially the God of the Bible, when it comes to the Christian God, when it comes to the God of the heavens and the earth, we blaspheme. And that's wrong. There are instances when we do certain things that causes irreverence to God, referring to God irreverently, even among believers. You know, I'm not sure whether you have heard the word, you know, the man upstairs, you know, referring to God. The big guy up there referring to God. Those ones are irreverence to God. They are irreverence to the name of the Lord, you know. And some of you are already, your heart is beating faster now, okay? but that's not where we're going. Curses of every kind, you know, like I said, putting the word and damn. You know, you can finish the statement just because something has gone wrong. You know, you had flat tires or the post office that's closed before you got there, and then you bring the name of the Lord into that cursing word. And the Lord says, "Do not take my name in vain. Do not take my name in vain." Now that's what we understand as what it means, the third commandment. But I want to submit to you on the platform of God's word that it actually goes deeper than that. And the ramifications that is involved in misusing the name of the Lord is much more than just, you know, the verbal pronouncement that brings the name of the Lord into disrepute. It's much more than that. Now, if we go to the original, I think one of the things that we have trouble with is actually the way it is stated. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. And our understanding is like when you say take, we refer to that as something that you speak. So we refer to it as something verbal. Do not take. It's like a taking an oath. But that's not actually what it means. The original translation of the word take, it's actually carry. It's carry, or to bear, or to bring forth into a place of prominence. That's the original Hebrew that is translated take in many of the translations that we've got, especially the one we're using this morning, which is the New King James Version. And that's why I read the NIV translation, which says, do not misuse. That is closer to the original Hebrew word, but it does not still do it the best of justice. Do not misuse. The original translation actually says, do not carry. Do not carry or bear the name of the Lord in vain. Do not bring into prominence, to bring the name of the, do not carry his name into doing things that involve vanity. That involve vanity. And I'll talk about the word vanity in a short while. Because names could be carried. Names could be carried. Just like some of us are carrying the name of our parents, the names of our fathers. Something happened in the book of Luke chapter number 10. Jesus got together 70 of his disciples, and the Bible says he sent them out. He sent them out, and then when they came back in verse number 17, they were so excited. They were filled with joy. And I want you to turn there, Luke chapter number 10, verse 17. I just want to bring to you the dimension of what it means to carry. Luke chapter number 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were so excited. They were filled with excitement and ecstasy. Even the demons were subject to us in your name. Why did they say that? because they carried the name of the Lord Jesus into those places where they had been sent. So they came back with report of good tidings to the Lord. Oh, even the demons were subject to us in your name. We carried your name to them, and they respected your name. That's the sense of the carrying. So it's to take upon oneself is to bear upon oneself as you engage in that assignment. So when they were going, they were like carriers of the name of Jesus. They knew that what they accomplished was not out of their own personal powers or attributes, but it was because of the name that they carried. Now, look at what it says in verse number 4 of the same chapter, chapter number 10. Look at what it says in verse 4. Verse number 3. Let's start from the verse number 3. It says, go your way. Luke chapter number 10, verse 3. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Verse 4, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. Do you see the word carry? Carry neither. It means don't carry any of these things. Now, when you will send out people, you will give them things. The things that you are giving them, they are the instruments to help them to accomplish the assignment you have given to them. Now, in this instance, they were supposed to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their finances and the needs were supposed to be met when they are on the field. So, naturally, they will be given money. They will be given things, materials to use when they get into the field. Jesus says, carry not any of those things. Why? Because you're going to be carrying something that will provide everything that these other things that you ought to have carried will provide. Are you following me, church? Carry not. Carry not. Why? Because I'm going to give you a name that you're going to carry. So that's what it means to take. To take is to carry, is to bear upon oneself. So when the Bible says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain, the original sense actually says, do not carry the name of the Lord in vain. Are we okay? Right. So what is vain or what is vanity? Now, the word vain or vanity means emptiness. It means trivial. It means frivolous. It also means falsehood, you know. It means lacking in truth and in reality. So it's a spectrum. The word vanity in this place is a spectrum. And that's why I said earlier on that this particular passage involves the verbal use of the name of the Lord. But that's not everything. So it's a spectrum. It goes from things that are empty, things that are frivolous on one aspect, on one side of the spectrum, up to the things that are frank falsehood or frank evil on the other hand. So the word vain means empty, trivial, frivolous, falsehood, or lacking in truth and reality. So if you put that together, this is what it will come up with. Do not carry the name of the Lord into anything that promotes or represents frivolities, falsehood, or anything that lacks the truth. Do not carry the name of the Lord into anything that represents or promotes frivolities, falsehood, or anything that lacks the truth. Why? Because that word vain is a spectrum that goes from trivial and frivolous on one hand to frank falsehood and evil on the other hand. So it's a lumping together of several things that you can actually term evil. Evil. Do not carry the name of the Lord into the pursuit of evil. So the passage actually means when it says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain, it means not to carry the name of the Lord or not to carry the name of the Lord into things that are promoting falsehood or the things that are acts of evil. Is that making sense? So it simply means to commit evil in God's name. To commit evil in God's name. Don't do it. Don't do it. The expanded form, which I believe is going to help a lot of us here, is this. Anytime you do something wrong, evil, unwholesome, and you have had to use God's name to aid, support, or justify the evil done, you have violated the third commandment. Anytime that you do something that is wrong, that is evil or unwholesome, and you've had to use God's name to aid, support, or justify that evil that is done, you have violated the third commandment. So whenever you commit evil in God's name, you have violated that third commandment. So this ramification goes just beyond what is said. It involves what is done, what is executed, what is practiced. If the name of the Lord has to be used to aid, support, or justify that evil that is done, it is a carrying of the name of the Lord into falsehood, frivolities, vanity. So that gives us a good grasp and a good idea of what the Bible says here. Now, listen to this. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Must be a very serious matter for the Lord to say, if you do it, I won't forgive you. If you break that law, I will break your head. Just kidding, you know. If you break it, I won't forgive you. God will not hold him guiltless. Taking the name of the Lord in vain is anytime that you do something that is evil, wrong, unwholesome, anything that does not have value, and you've had to use God's name to hate, support, or justify the evil you have done, you have violated its third commandment. Now, let me give you a very good example. You know there are what we call the Islamist group, the jihadists, ISIS. You know those guys go around beheading people, cutting throats, destroying cities in the name of God. As a matter of fact, when they would throw the bomb, God is great, is what they will shout. It's a carrying of the name of the Lord to perpetrate evil. God says, you won't escape it. You know why? Because it's a serious thing. Now, when an evildoer commits evil, God is not involved. When a godless person murders, for instance, God is not involved. But when someone who claims to be godly commits evil, there is a dragging of the name of the Lord into disrepute. And that's a serious thing because it brings and breeds more enemies for God rather than friends. It's like somebody using your name to get something that you don't even know about. By the time you get to know, you will be mad, especially when it is something that you will never have supported if you had known in the first place. So that is exactly the reason why God is angry with that. You can't use my name, carry it upon yourself, and use it to execute evil. You won't go guiltless. That's what the word says. You won't go guiltless. You know, after 9/11 attack on the U.S., remember the Twin Tower bombing? There arose in the U.S. a new movement called New Atheism. Atheism is people that don't believe there is any God. So there was a new movement called New Atheism, which some of you are perhaps familiar with. And the premise of that movement was that if you guys are saying it is God that asks you to do this, then I don't think I want to have anything to do with that God. That's breathing more enemies for the maker of the heavens and of the earth. God says, I'm trying to get them to appreciate what I've done for them and become friends. You have carried my name to execute evil, to execute vanity. You won't escape free. You won't. Because when a person murders another person, when a person commits murder, he has only murdered that person. But when a person commits murder in God's name, he has murdered that person and he has murdered a part of God. Because his name is so important. His name is actually his person. So when you carry it on yourself, you are carrying God on yourself. That's why the Bible says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. There are several instances when the Lord, the scripture will use the name of the Lord. When you put God there, it will actually make sense. Why? Because the name of God is God. It's not separable. They are inseparable. The Bible says, those that run into, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It would be correct to say God is a strong tower, the righteous runs into it and is saved. He says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. But why? Because you can't separate God from his name. So anytime that we commit anything evil, something evil, wholesome, or something wrong, and that we have had to use God's name to either support, aid, or justify the committing of that evil is a violation of the third commandment. So you can see that it's actually deeper than just using the cursed word. It's deeper than just using the word God and damn together. It's deeper than that. Because you can look at that and say, okay, fine, if it's just the Islamist group and the jihadis that are breaking this law, let's go to the fourth one. No, not so fast. Because unfortunately, some of us believers, violate the third commandment in a couple of ways, and I will just go through them quickly because of the brevity of our time this morning. So what are the practical ways that we may be violating the third commandment? Practical ways that we, as 21st century believers, may be violating God's name. Number one, false promises. Please say with me, false promises. Can we say it louder? False promises. False promises. False promises. Now, how does that connect with breaking the third commandment? Simple. When you come to Christ, your identity changes. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Engraved in you is the name of the Lord. You are a carrier of that name by the reason of rebirth. It's engraved in you. It's not just a tattoo. It's engraved in you. So anything that you do as from that point moving forward is in the name of the Lord. You are doing it in the name of the Lord. Why? Because when we get to heaven, you know why we're going to be accepted into heaven? Because we bear his name. Because we are carriers of his name spiritually. And that's what's going to allow us into heaven. The guys that will be turned into hell is not because they have not done something good. It's because they are not bearing his name at that point in time. Now, so whenever we do anything, we're doing it in the name of the Lord. Somebody said, what about if I do it and I didn't say in the name of the Lord? Too late. You have been bought, and there is an engraving in your spirit, man, that says you bear the name of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, let everyone that bears the name of the Lord depart from the name. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, I'm using the King James Version, depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Why? Because we are carriers of that name. You know, Jesus gave a very important instruction. Matthew chapter number 5. I just want to drive this point home, important, because it's quite important. Matthew chapter number 5. And I'll read from verse number 33. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. You know, when we talk about the Ten Commandments these days, people talk about, oh, no, we're not under the law anymore. We are under grace. We are under grace, so we don't have to keep those things. Now, when you get home, you go and read this passage very carefully, and you will discover that the requirement under the grace is actually higher than the requirement after the under the law. Why? Because under the grace, there is an equipping to get things done, to carry out the assignment. It says, don't commit adultery. But when it gets into the New Testament, it says, when you even look lustfully at a woman, you commit adultery. So which one would you rather want to keep if you were given the choice? Of course, you will run to the Old Testament. Because in our natural mind, we think, well, that should be easier as long as I don't sleep with that woman or with that man. But the Bible says when you look lustfully in the New Testament. Okay, I just digress into that so that you get. Okay, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Now, stop. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Now, in the Old Testament, they know that they are not supposed to swear. So they are not supposed to swear using God's name. In fact, they so much respected the name of the Lord that they would rather not write the name of the Lord in a sheet of paper for the fear of the fact that somebody may just get there and, you know, get rid of it and throw it in the dustbin. And in their mind, they will think that they have committed, you know, blasphemy of some sort, because you have allowed the name of the Lord to be thrown into the dustbin. So they don't write the name of the Lord. As a matter of fact, when they want to write the name of the Lord, they don't write it completely. Yahweh is the name of the Lord, but they will write it as YHWH. Because no one wants to pronounce that name. Is that hallowed? Okay. And then in this particular instance, so because they were not able to swear by God, they started using other things to swear. And that's why Jesus is correcting them, because it was the practice in those days for them to use the heaven. So I swear by heaven. Why? Because they at least have bypassed God, you know, circumvented the one that will kill me, you know. Let me just use heaven. Some of them will swear by the throne of God, or some of them will swear by Jerusalem, the city of the great. And Jesus is saying, no, don't swear. Don't swear by those. Don't even swear by the hair of your hair, because you cannot make it one white or black. Now, why is he saying so? Now, people usually generate their energy to get conviction and to get support for what they say by swearing with holy things. They use that to generate, you know, some force of dependability, that you can depend on what I'm saying. You can believe it. It is true. But Jesus is saying, no, you don't have to use God or the holy things to generate the force and the strength of dependability. Why did he say so? Because engraved in you is the name of the Lord. You are already a carrier of that name. There is no point using God's name or the name of the holy things to swear, because every time you make promises, it's like a swearing. Why? Because you are a carrier of God into it. And by the way, do you realize that he's saying that anywhere you go, God is there. So whatever words you say, you don't have to invite God. He's already invited. He's already there. He said, not by heaven. Look at verse 36. He said, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one white or black. But let your yes be yet, and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. In other words, each time you speak, your words carry as much force of dependability as somebody who swears in the Old Testament. Why? Because you are a carrier of God already. You take God. So when he says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain, it simply means that you, as a taker of God, everything you say must not be connected with flimsy things, frivolities, falsehood, or evil. Why? Because you are going to be violating God's law. So when you make promises, you don't have to swear for it to become a valid document, as it were, a valid pronunciation recognized by heaven, because you are a carrier of God. You carry the name of the Lord. As you are seated here, if you are born again, you are a carrier of God's name. So everything that you do is in his name. I know some of us are secret agents of Christ, in the sense that people don't know that you are a Christian. You know, you are like a CIA, you know. You operate your Christianity without anyone knowing. And that's too bad. You know, some of us, we don't want to be seen holding the Bible. What's in your hand? You know, it's just in my hand. I just bought this. You know, it's an interesting story. It's a magazine. Because you don't want to be associated with him. But with or without that, as you are a believer, you carry his name. Some of us, we will switch whatever we're watching on the TV when people are coming, because we don't want them to see us listening to the preacher. We don't just want people to know we are Christians, basically. When we're coming from church and our neighbor asks us, so where are you coming from? You know, we just went to the shops. Lying again, another one, you know, because you are a secret agent. Change, people of God. You're not supposed to be a secret agent for Christ. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill, no hiding place. Okay? But I went into that because I want you to know that you are a bearer of God's name. And everything that you do is in his name. Everything that you do is in his name. So when you make promise, the next time you make a promise, remember, God is here. I'm making it in his name. The next time you talk to someone, make sure that what you're saying is the truth. Why? Because you are bearing his name. You are a carrier of that name. So that's the first one. False promises. You know, a man said, the godly man will make promises cautiously, but keep them conscientiously. And that's very important. Number two, false prophecies. False prophecies. Don't forget how we get there. Anytime you do something evil, something wrong, something unwholesome, and you've had to use God's name to hate, support, or justify the evil done, is a violation of the third commandment. Anytime. Anytime. And don't forget you are a carrier of that name. You cannot choose when you want to carry it. You cannot say this one is Sunday. I want to carry his name today. A Monday, no, I don't need it. No, it's engraved in you. It's engraved in you. Okay, number two. False prophecies. False prophecies. In Jeremiah chapter number 14, when we get home, we can read that place because of our time. He's talking to people that give the false prophets in the land. Excuse me, they prophesy lies to the people. Jeremiah chapter number 14, verse 14. And God says, no, I'm going to visit them. They're not going to go scot-free. The people that they are prophesying lies to are also going to suffer the consequences because they are involved in evil. Why? Because false prophecies is using the name of the Lord in falsehood. You are using the name of the Lord to support a claim that never was. That's a false prophet. A prophecy that is given and says, thus saith the Lord, when God has not spoken anything, is a violation of the third commandment because it's a carrying of God's name, it's a misuse of God, it's an abuse of the name of the Lord because it is used to support a claim or to justify an evil done. That's a violation of the third commandment. Now, I'm sure many of us are so happy. I'm so glad I'm not a prophet, you know. I've escaped that, you know. But not so fast. Not so fast. Now, have you heard people say, you know, God told me, you know, God told me to buy the house. God just laid this, you know, a Hyundai car, or Hyundai, they call it, whatever they call it, in my heart to buy. When you know that all the days of your life, you have always desired to buy it, and you have just used the name of the Lord to justify the purchase of that car or of that house. No, God didn't say it. You said it. And it was not wrong for you to have bought whatever you have bought. I mean, you deal with the debt when it comes. But the problem is you have now used the name of the Lord to justify a claim, to justify something that you did in your own name. It's a dragging of his name into falsehood. It's a dragging of his name into vanity. It's a violation of the third commandment. It's a violation of the third commandment. Or, God told me to tell you. When you have always desired to actually tell this person this thing, but you felt, no, it's not going to, no, it would be as if I'm, you know, I'm picking on him or her. But when I say God told me, yeah, you know, it carries weight. It carries power. But it's a violation of the third commandment. As a pastor, I've had the opportunity of ministering to different people. And sometimes when we are correcting and you are trying to direct people, they come with this. You know, I believe God spoke to me. At that time, you can't go further. Why? Because they have just used the name of the Lord to justify whatever they have done. That's false prophecy. False prophecy. It's a violation of the name of the Lord. Let's stop it. Finally, false pretenses. So we've talked about the false promises, false prophecies, false pretenses. Now, what do I mean by that? When we as believers use our status as a child of God to achieve something, but now deal with that thing that we have achieved using our status under his name, and we now deal with it as an unbeliever, or perhaps even worse than an unbeliever, is a violation of the third commandment. Why? Because we have used his name, and we have dragged it into vanity. I'll give you an instance. You know, some people get some jobs or some businesses just simply because they are seen as a brother in church or as a sister in church. Or they have advertised that, you know, Jesus is the head of our business, you know. And it's on that premise that this person feels, oh, Christians are always very good when it comes to jobs. I will give it to him or I will give it to her. And then this guy gets whatever he wants to get and then messes up the job. It's a violation of the third commandment. Because you have used the name of the Lord and you have dragged it into vanity, into shame. It's wrong. Or, you know, for people who want to get married, searching for love, you know, and a man will come into a church and pretend to be a believer, you know, say all the right things, use all the Christianese, you know, language to gain the attention of the man or of the woman. But he's never saved. Don't we have it in our society? And that's why people that are searching for love and are searching for love again have to be very careful, because they are violators of the third commandment that are like wolves in sheep's clothing. That's false pretenses. Such a person has violated the third commandment. Politicians going to church when it's just a few weeks to election and say, God bless you, brother. God bless you, church. We need to change things in this society. And the purpose of that is just to convince people to see them as a believer. But they have their own agenda. They have their own plans. And there is no plan to change it. It's a violation of the name of the Lord. Because it's using or carrying the name of the Lord to achieve something that you want to accomplish by yourself, do it your way. And it's a dragging of the name of the Lord into vanity. Into vanity. The Bible says, deceased from there. Why? Because each time we use his name falsely, there is a consequence. The Bible says that person will not go guiltless. It means the person will get punished. Punished. Now, I'm sure you are asking, so where does this leave me? Because I'm in trouble, you know. I've said all the wrong things, and I said them not meaning them in a bad way. I know you didn't mean them in a bad way. And that's why it is important for us as believers to clean up our thoughts, clean up our words, clean up our communication. The Bible refers to those communication as coarse jesting. It's a jesting that is not smooth. We need to deal with it. Now, and somebody is asking, so does it still mean that God will punish me? Does it mean that God will not allow me to go guiltless? Does it mean that God is going to visit me and deal with me because of those things that I've done? Look at it this way. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. God says he will not hold him guiltless. And that's what he will do. He will not hold him guiltless. In other words, that sin must be paid for. It must be paid for. But you know the good news. The good news is that that sin was actually paid for in Christ. Because Jesus was actually punished for that sin of blasphemy. He was actually bruised for that sin of dragging the name of the Lord in vain. He was tortured for that. The essence, the reason why he was crucified was such that, God, I saw Jesus violating, as it were, that third commandment. And he poured his entire wrath upon him on the cross. So the good news is we can actually come to Christ. Or rather, we can come to God through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did it when I didn't know. Or maybe even going forward in the future, if you fall, if you falter into some of the things that we've talked about, don't say it's the end of the road. There is always the blood of Christ. The essence of this teaching this morning is to help you to guard your heart. The Bible says, guarding your heart with all diligence, from out of it flows the issues of life. It's to help you to see the ramifications of the violation of the third law, the way our society doesn't even care about it. It's to help you to guard your heart when you watch the movies or when you converse with people in your places of work and in the community, in the society. This sin is so grave that the Lord says, I'm not going to let them go without being punished. Shall we pray?